Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Above the Bar podcast, where each week we belly up to the bar with a new guest, find out what they do, who they are, and what makes them great. So sit back, relax, and enjoy. Alrighty, folks, welcome back to the Above the Bar podcast. It's your host, Sean. We've bellied up on this. What day? What is today? The 11th? No, the 10th. It's April 10th. I didn't even realize it. So it's 4:10. So I guess that's, you really don't get to do shit. It's just 4:10. But we're going to make it a day to drink and have like high-end, fancy-dancy cocktails. Because, you know, we're normally used to maybe a bourbon or a whiskey or something that. But to fix things up, to bring a little class to the show, that's why I'm wearing my shirt with tigers on it and trees. Because we're going to get fancy today. Because I think this is, you know, this liquor reminds me of India. And maybe our guest can explain to me why in my head, other than one other brand, it sticks in my head that way, this way. But joining us with a nice, good-looking cigar, a great background, and he's got good hair. I think good hair is important also. All the way from Connecticut, we have, and I'm going to butcher his last name, as you all know, I'm always going to do, Mr. Adam Von Gutkin.
It's very good. You got it. It's pretty phonetic.
Well, that's what I realized. And the thing about it is, Adam, with your last name, like at some point you need to be like, you just got to put on that really over-the-top German accent and be like, listen here, we're going to be taking lots of gin. We will be drinking it. You will be loving it. Don't worry. If you don't like it, we'll make you like it. Like it?
I think that would be pretty convincing. Maybe I should give it a shot.
You know, you can be very convincing with it, you know, and you just get like a true Helga to stand behind you the entire, get a, like a real Helga standing behind you the whole time. But Adam's here. Adam is one of the owners of High Clear Castle Gin and High Clear Castle Cigars. Now, you might look at the picture on here before we get going and say, well, that looks awful familiar to me. Well, it should look awful familiar to you. Because High Clear Castle is, as we all know, the TV show Downton Abbey. That is the Downton Abbey Castle, which now is no longer called High Clear Castle. I just learned this because I follow them on Instagram. It's actually now called High Clear Abbey, I just found out.
Did you know that? That was an April Fool's joke.
Was it really?
Yeah.
Ain't that a sumbitch? I've been telling people. Hey. I didn't realize. I thought that was really like they changed the name. Like, oh, that's cool.
No,
like,
Lady Carnarvon was having some fun, and she posted that because of obviously the crazy connections. You bought into
it. Well, tell her she got me. I told you can tell her she got me because I was like, oh, that's really cool that they changed the name and she had the cute little dogs and everything. I was like,
thank God I know it was an April Fool's, or I would have been very, very confused right now.
Yeah, because I was like, yeah, like. I saw it on Instagram. I saw it. It's like that commercial for, what was it, like Geico or something like that, where they're like, do you believe everything you see on the internet? Well, yeah, this is. And then she's like, this is my French, my boyfriend. He's a French model. Bonjour. One of my favorites. So we're going to get into talking about High Clear. We're going to have a few cocktails. My wife's going to bring them down to me. So we're going to have a few of those. But let's go ahead and take care of some house cleaning, folks. As always, over my right shoulder is the big board for Sticker and a Cause. Maybe you've got your own distillery, your own drink, your own band, your own podcast. I don't care what it is. Reach out to us on Facebook, LinkedIn, YouTube, Twitch, X, Instagram, TikTok. We now have our website up and running, folks. It is the AboveTheBarPodcast.com. You can catch us there. We have a little page there where you can reach out to me. Reach out. Let me know what you got going on. Let me know what you have happening. I'll tell you where to send that sticker. You read it to us, and we throw it up on the big board live so everybody can hear about you. The other thing is now these – well, I guess this – I got to see how I can tie this all in together for a moment. Well, Roman would be more – I guess would be more wine, but – so we'll just go with it. So we have our sponsors, Budget Blinds of East Greenbush and Budget Blinds of Hudson and Coxsackie, New York, the largest window treatment company in North America, specializing in everything from shutters, roller shades, Roman shades, all the things you need when if you don't want anyone to see you drinking your High Clear, or if you want the world to see you drinking your High Clear, an absolute high fashion of beautiful drapery, we can do that for you also. So make sure you're reaching out to your local Budget Blinds. And if you're up here in the Capital Region, you can reach out to Budget Blinds of East Greenbush or Budget Blinds of Hudson and Coxsackie, New York. And you let them know you're there to belly up to the bar. They're going to give you 15% off your entire order. That's Budget Blinds of East Greenbush and Budget Blinds of Hudson and Coxsackie, New York. Now, I don't normally play this one, but I feel like this guy's voice is perfect that we're going to be talking about this. You know, got Tiger Blood, little Charlie Sheen to get this one kicking off right. So, Mr. Adam, now I see you've already got a little High Clear right there in hand. Now, are you drinking just straight High Clear?
I do. I just love to sip it on the rocks. I mean, it's really? Yeah, I do. I mean, I'm a spirit crazy person, and I'm an aficionado. But I mean, I also try to design High Clear in such a way that you could sip it on the rocks, because I noticed that with all the gins out there, you can't. No. And my mind is kind of like, why can't, like, why does a spirit have to be covered with things in order to taste good? So the challenge was like, let's make the first gin in the world that you can just sip straight on the rocks. So that was the mission. It was a year and a half it took, by the way.
I can't even imagine. And I guess, I mean, the only time I can think of, like, even in movies or anything like that, where they're drinking gin straight is, and strange enough reference, is Sweeney Todd. Oh. Like whenever you see somebody, but that was like, it was almost like it was what the lower class did. It was like, you just got a cup and they poured gin in it. But gin has a very interesting history, but so does your family. Like, you're not the first person in your family to get into the liquor game. Am I understanding that correct?
Yeah. My ancestry goes back to like the 1800s with a distillery. In fact, one of my ancestors who owned this, it was a legal distillery producing whiskey. And he tried to send about 800 barrels over the Canadian border without paying the excise tax. And the federal government did not like the idea and took the distillery away from us. But then my grandfather and great-grandfather were both involved in moonshining here in New England, in Connecticut. They had a hotel. And when Prohibition took over, they turned the restaurant in the basement of the hotel into a legitimate speakeasy. So nice. It's kind of fun adventure stories, yeah.
Now, I guess we don't associate moonshine today with, you know, New England or the Northeast. I think it's always associated with, you know, backwoods, Kentucky, the Appalachians, that type of a world. I mean, I don't know if your grandfather ever talked about this or not, but is there a difference between like a New England shine and a Appalachian style?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, so if you think about it, I always will say to, you know, friends or aficionados of spirits that we were making liquor up here in New England before anybody lived in Florida. You know, I mean, it very much kind of got that kind of moonshine cliche thing of kind of a Southern thing, but it really isn't. It's an American thing, and it started in New England. And every country has its own version of moonshine. You make moonshine with whatever you have that will ferment. So the Irish have poutine. The Chinese have baijiu. The Italians had grapes, so they called it grappa. The French had fruits, and they called it eau de vie. So you get the idea of moonshine is really this concept of unaged spirit right from the still with whatever you have. And here up in New England, we've always had, you know, a various amount of grains that we grew. So from corn or barley to oat. So whiskey, which is actually a word that comes from the Gaelic word wescabao, which means water of life. The idea of whiskey, you know, if you came to New England, if you came to where you are in upstate New York or where I am right now, 400 years ago, and you got a jug of whiskey, it was probably clear and it came out of the still and it was made out of whatever they had. So that stereotype of the Deep South or our Appalachia moonshine, that was often, especially the South, was made from sugar because they had sugar cane they were growing. And sugar cane moonshine is a lot more intense because it ferments quicker and more aggressively. So that moonshine comes out a lot stronger.
And it's funny now. Let's see. This is probably one of the few things that I know about that particular liquor. And we're going to get into gin because I was always curious about the process with gin, which is, do you know how they ended up using the barrels that they use in Kentucky and all that. Do you know that history?
Of course. Yeah, absolutely. So from the entire perspective of a brown spirit or an aged spirit, what used to happen was, you remember, barrels were used to transport anything, because what's cool about a barrel is the ends are flat, so you can stand it up and it'll stay still. But if you want to tip it over, you can, one man can roll a barrel, and a barrel can weigh 500, 600, 700 pounds. So everything was transported in barrels, anything, fish, corn, rice, spirits, wine, beer, anything, water, everything. And the challenge would be if, and my family actually went through this. So you complete a batch of whiskey. It might be, it's clear. This is before they knew about barrel aging. So even before them. So you put the whiskey in a barrel. It gets loaded onto an ox cart, and it goes across the country for 2 weeks to go from here to Cincinnati or Chicago or something back in the early days. And when it gets there, it gets opened up, beautiful, fresh barrel, fresh whiskey. It all comes out. This will be great. We'll sell it to all the local taverns and pubs. Well, that barrel now still has value. So let's put something in it to send it back east. So maybe the fishmonger buys it, and the fishmonger puts his dried salted cod in there, and he sends it back over to the East Coast. And by the time it gets there, the casks now smell of fish. So at some point they figure out we can actually reuse these casks if we char the insides of the casks. So let's take the heads off. Let's light a fire. Let's purify whatever was in there. We'll char it. Well, what happened was when somebody put whiskey back in there, or moonshine back in there, when it got from A to B, it wasn't clear anymore. It was brown. But not only was it brown, it had actually improved in its flavor profile. More vanillins and tannins and things happened to it that made it somehow cleaner and more delicious and sweeter tasting. And that's really how the whole kind of trend of barrel aging spirits to improve them began.
And you guys have a barrel aged gin even.
Yeah. Yeah, we do.
I saw that.
I love whiskey, so I had to find an excuse to do something crazy. We had this crazy product. This was a limited edition we did. It's
what
called barrel aged gin. So basically
That's an even cooler bottle than the one, or no, that is the one I saw online. You know what? I thought I saw the one online was just like a gold, like the glass had was like a yellow glass. I didn't realize it was wrapped that way. That is super cool.
This is painted, actually. You can believe that? Yeah. So last year was the 100 year anniversary of the discovery of King Tut's tomb by my partner, the owner of Highclere, Lord Carnarvon's great grandfather. He left Highclere Castle, went to Egypt, and with the famed archaeologist found King Tut's tomb. Last year was the centennial anniversary. So about 3 years ago, I was like, we have to prepare to do something ridiculous. So I was able to get my hands on 50-year-old Armagnac casks from France, Scotch whiskey barrels, and unused new American oak charred barrels. And we aged the gin in it for 2 years. We didn't know what would happen. I had my theories, but what came out of it is this beautiful honey golden kind of smoked gin that's really, really beautiful. And it's almost gone forever. We only made 2,000 cases of it.
That's so cool. Well, guess what? Your partners, the Lord and Lady, and I have an interesting connection then.
Okay.
Because my buddy, Doug Dwyer, who is from DCD Collects, is a monstrous collector of... He does a lot now more with pop culture kind of stuff, but his family's been involved in everything. At one point in time, he owned and sold the original drawings of King Tut's tomb.
Oh, wow. Interesting.
So when they discovered it, they took and drew out everything. So he owned those drawings.
Wow.
So that there's our weird connection. But I just want to stick with the. I know I can talk about all these liquors. I always have found everything about them so fascinating. But gin's an interesting thing. Like, you know, we've all heard, if you've been around any real liquor people, folks, you've heard the phrase like, bourbon is for the love, vodka's for the money. But I feel like gin kind of is somewhere in between there, because gin, like, we've heard the term bathtub gin. You can make gin in a lot of different ways. But what is the history? Like, where does gin come from? When did, like, how far back does this go? Like, to me, like I say, I think about, you know, it's the 1800s. It's a very Victorian England kind of a liquor. But where does gin come from?
Yeah, it's a great question. And I really found that statement you made fascinating. And I kind of really agree with you. Yeah, I mean, vodka is defined by the U.S. government as flavorless, odorless alcohol molecule. That's the definition by the
DT. I didn't realize that. I didn't even know that.
No, it's many of the vodkas on the shelves all come from the same plant out in the Midwest. They all have make-believe stories that are behind them. And to be honest with you, most gins come out for the money too. For example, can I ask you, do you know the story of Tanqueray?
No, not at all.
No, neither do I. And they do about 1 billion cases a year in gin. So it's kind of like, you know, when I started looking at the category, I felt that most of the brands out there were just being done to sell and for the money. And that the passion and the love and the story and the authenticity wasn't there. And with Highclere, you know, I discovered a really stunningly beautiful corner of the world that had all the ingredients growing on it to make this thing. But back to your question about the history of gin itself, that the history is really one of the most fascinating, it's probably fascinating of any spirit that exists. It was originally invented as a medicinal cure. There's even records actually at Highclere Castle of the Romans pulling juniper out of the ground because they knew that it would help with stomach ailments. So like most okay. militaries by easily like 1,000 century, 1,000 years back, they knew that juniper helped, but definitely the Romans did way long before that. The juniper helped with a bad stomach ailment. It was the Dutch that created gin. They okay. called it Genever, which is a Dutch word. And they did not imbibe it the way we do, like for pleasure. It was used for two reasons. It was used for medicine, for stomach, and it was used to give to the soldiers before they marched into war. And it was called Dutch courage. And so
I didn't realize that was gin.
100%. Gin is Dutch courage. It ends up being mother's ruin, and now it's something altogether. But back to the reference you made before about the people with the cups just drinking it, you know, out of the back. Yeah. So the Dutch are making this stuff. It's not for pleasure. The English go to the war with the Dutch. The English win. And while the English are there, they realize that they like the Genever a lot more than the Dutch do. And so they basically bring it home to Britain. And they're like, I don't know why you guys are rationing this out. This is an awesome, you know, libation for the regular. And so it became part of the regular kind of thing. And in fact, I'll tell you a really cool story. Because people think of like the Royal Navy and they think rum or grog, right? You think right. of like grog as being the ration. Well, gin became way more popular than rum pretty fast after these wars happened. And England was, of course, kind of controlling all corners of the British Empire, including India. And so the Royal Navy would go from Britain and have to sail a long journey to England, to India. Well, when they got there, they were getting malaria. So they invented tonic with quinine. And quinine and tonic helps to fight malaria. Well, they would also end up arriving there with scurvy. And what fights scurvy? Lyme. And so the soldiers would not voluntarily take the quinine or the lime. But the Admiralty realized that if they put the quinine tonic and the lime in with the gin, you have right there, you have the first cocktail in human history, the gin and tonic.
What?
Right?
That's an absolutely incredible. That is wild.
Yeah, it's funny. Things always come about out of necessity, and then we find ways to enjoy them.
That is so they were making it for medicinal. So how do we, you know, so how does it get though in the public domain? Because it was actually in the English space. Like they were giving it to children, but were working in factories.
Yeah, like it lost its mind. It got bad for a while in London. That's where it got the term "mother's ruin." There became a time where it was just a craze throughout Britain, and people were abusing it, and it was ruining families, and you know, men were dying, and you know, on their walk home from the, I mean, people were just lost it, and that's where that term "mother's ruin" came from. That old term for gin, "mother's ruin," and they had a bunch of campaigns and, you know, public campaigns about how it's bad, and everybody kind of, the pendulum swaying the other way. And then it kind of just settled into its nice space of being a really beautiful spirit worth enjoying, you know, on occasions and cocktails and stuff.
Well, that's kind of always been my feel with gin is, gin is that drink, like summertime gin, sitting outside, a gin and tonic, which I'm going to assume that you also know what the number one drink of all serial killers is.
I actually don't know that randomly.
Awesome. Gin and tonics.
Is it really? That's disturbing.
Gin and tonic is the number one drink of cereal.
You make a gin and tonic.
Yeah. Like this, that is a legit thing. And my beautiful bride is next to me right now. She will not get on the camera. She's already made that very clear. She's already she's like, I'm ready for bed already, but she's willing to make me a cocktail. Well, now, that's when let me have the cocktail thing for a second. She's like, no. It's not so.
I suddenly have a very strange hankering for a gin and tonic. Thank you, Renee.
That's it. Gin. So now who's hooking you up with your gin and tonics?
Renee is amazing. She's a chief.
Is that
staff.
The Renee that I spoke to?
Yes.
Renee Lemieux. Is it Lemieux?
Yeah. You want to say hi? Yeah. You might as well. She's keeping me company on this late night podcast.
Listen, hi, Sean. Renee. Listen to me, folks. When you book Adam, you're going to talk to Renee, and Renee is awesome. She kept everything in line. She made sure everything was taken care of. There is nothing I can say that, like, she made sure that this transition for this show was absolutely all Adam had to do was just sit down in his big comfy chair and Correct. Be ready to go. Renee, you are outstanding, and we appreciate you so much. Now, before we get into this one, so I have who created your cocktail list? Like, where did these come from?
Well, many of those cocktails come from the castle, actually. So we found archives, actually in the archives of the castle, which were handwritten butler's notes from the 1920s. And the current head butler at Highclere, Louis, he makes them the same way today. So,
wow.
Pretty amazing stuff.
Well, tell Louis, I'm currently having the Blackberry Bramble.
Oh, nice.
Highclere. Fresh lemon juice, simple syrup, creme de mure with a blackberry and lemon slice. I don't have the lemon slice at this very moment, but that's okay. I do have the blackberry. Oh, wait, are you going to put a whole lemon in there, dear?
Yeah.
That's not a lemon slice. That's half a lemon. Then you stuck your fingers in my drink.
Listen, I can guarantee the gin. I can't guarantee the bartender, right?
Oh, God. I love my bride. Like, I'm like, there's no lemon slice in there. She has half a lemon and just drops it in the drink and goes, here, that's a lemon slice. Yes, it's half a lemon. Here, try that. You made it. Try it. So, but yeah, that's, and she's going to try to, oh, look. Now
hi, how are you? Nice to meet you.
She can't hear you because I got my earbuds in. Okay. But you like it?
I do.
Yeah, that's really good. Like, that's definitely got a very summertime. And I think in and of itself has a very summertime vibe to it.
Well, you know, it used to because the number one cocktail for gin has been the gin and tonic for a long time. And that's a very refreshing, bubbly kind of thing to it. But what's happening now is it's becoming a year round thing because everyone's ditching vodka for it. Cause it's got more flavor. It's more interesting.
Absolutely. 100%.
Vodka's it's purified rubbing alcohol in a way. And there's some out there I really enjoy in a dirty martini. Don't get me wrong. A dirty vodka is the best thing in the world sometimes. But gin is more fascinating. It's more sophisticated. There's more layers of flavor. Just more going on.
I would absolutely agree with you there. And it's funny. The only I will tell you, folks, if you're going to drink straight gin – because after 20 years in the Marine Corps, I've drank a lot of things straight that you probably shouldn't have. And the Highclere, I was, when we first got the bottle, I had a glass because I read the notes that Renee had sent me and then talking with Laura and everybody's like, hey, you got to have this. Try it straight. Just try it like you would. Because I drink my whiskey and my bourbon. Sure. I don't have any ice in it. It's right out the bottle. I do it the same way. So I was like, all right, let me try this. And I'll tell you the one thing I noticed that made such a difference. Like, I've had Tanqueray right out the bottle in a glass straight, which is like sucking on one of those pine trees that you have in your car. Yeah. Like, it is, it'll put hair on your chest and then burn it right off. It is not a beautiful thing. But this, you know, you can tell that you spent time to understand about making something that was going to be very sippable by itself.
Sure.
What was that process even like? Because, I mean, well, let me roll back one more question back one more for this. So you had a family history of distilling. Are you a chemist by trade? Did you like where do you get into this distilling world and the understanding of how to put these things together to be like, oh, this lavender from, you know, the 9th century Bishop, was it Bishop Winchester? I think it was
Bishop of Winchester. Yeah.
The Bishop of Winchester, you know, in the 9th century. And folks, I know I'm talking a lot about this. Scrolling across the bottom of the screen, High Clear and Clear is CLEREGin.com. You can see their stuff. And if you don't see it in your local liquor store, make sure you're beating them about the head and neck area, being like, hey, why aren't you carrying this? Why aren't you carrying this? Until they go and find a way to carry it.
By the way, I think that domain name is wrong. It's HighClearCastleGin.com, FYI.
Oh, you know what? And you're absolutely right, even though it's sitting right here next to me. So let me.
I'm not sure what the domain name will do. It might come to us anyway, or it might just be something terrible. Let's see. Who knows?
Because I think I typed in, originally I just typed in High Clear Gin. Just High Clear Gin will take right to you.
Oh, wow. Look at that.
Yeah. So if you type in High Clear Gin, it comes up and it says High Clear Gin. Buy now, UK, USA, and EU.
Yeah, that's the buy page. Yeah, if you want to learn more about it, the home page is HighClearCastleGin.com. That makes sense. Either one works. Yeah, either one works.
We want you to go to the buy page first.
Yes, we do.
And then go learn about it. Right. But I want you to go to the buy page first. That's really the more important spot. Because half of y'all can't read. If you go to the buy page, and then at the very top, you'll see High Clear Castle with the castle on it, and it's a hyperlink, and you click on it.
Oh, there
and,
you go.
And I think, nope, it keeps you right on this page. So I fib to you.
Trap until you buy. You can't learn about it until you buy it.
It's like a trap house. But no, going back, like, what was your background that helped to get you to here?
Yeah, so I failed out of college. I was totally not into that. You know, I started a couple businesses and had some very interesting adventures. And by the time I was in my mid-20s, I just kind of reconnected very naturally and randomly and organically with a love of making beer, wine, and spirits and food. My wife now, I've been together with her for 22 years, and I'm 40. So more than half our life, we've been together. She was studying for law school at the time. And I said, you know, I'm going to get into distilling. So I started studying hardcore chemistry, which was never my forte at all, and understanding the art and the beauty and the science behind fermentation. I started traveling a bit and meeting with other distillers, old school guys, some really, really old school backwoods moonshiner guys, as well as some very polished, you know, French gentlemen who've been multi-legacied in the industry. And I just spent a few years really diving into it and studying it. And, built a distillery here in Connecticut that really paid tribute to, you know, our family's history and during Prohibition and all the rest of it. Built an amazing brand and learned the in and outs of the industry altogether, distribution and marketing and all that fun stuff. And we did very well with it. But I was looking for a brand that would be both global and give me an excuse to spend more time back in England. And I found High Clear Castle through Downton Abbey, like millions of other people did. And I just felt it would be a magical place to make the world's most perfect gin. And the process was intense. I mean, you know, you've got 5,000 acres of estate there and a very, you know, one of the world's most famous country homes. And it's a home. It's not a museum or a hotel. It's a proper living, breathing home and surrounded by all these beautiful ingredients that I thought we could use in the gin. First, one of which was the citrus from the Victorian orangery behind the castle, which you know is with High Clear. We're very citrus forward, so you're not getting smashed over the head with a pine tree air freshener. Instead, you're getting beautiful variety of Spanish oranges and the orange peel. You're getting some lemon, some lime flower
notes
that come out of it. So it's a very citrus forward gin, which makes it nice to sip like this. And then it gets more robust and velvety from there. And in fact, one of the things you'll appreciate, Sean, is, you know, one of the things I always look for in spirits that I really like is mouthfeel. And I'm always seeking out this kind of velvety creaminess. I want you to be able to chew any spirit that I release. It should sit with you for 10 seconds like a fine whiskey. And of course, no gins have that. They're all just like zap, bam, done. Like vodka, right. meant to disappear as soon as possible. And I wanted this to have legs on the glass. I wanted it to be thick and really kind of robust. And it was actually Lord Cadarvan's idea to add the oats grown at Highclere into this. No one has ever used oats in botanical blend. And so we tried it as an experiment. And when we tasted it, I mean, it's rich like a syrup or like a very, very fine, you know, thick Cabernet or a really nice bourbon. And the flavor stays with you for 10 seconds afterwards. So again, the requirement for me was it has to be stellar, sipped straight out of the bottle. Then I know in cocktails, it will destroy any other gin.
Well, it's funny you mentioned that. That makes sense why it kind of does linger around and kind of hang out where typically, like you said, a gin hits you and you're like, fuck, it's gin. I mean, I don't know any other way of saying it. Typically with a gin and even to get a, and look, folks, I'm not saying anything bad about the others. Listen, Seagram's owns everybody. Trust me. You want to look behind the curtain, folks. Go look at what Seagram's owns and you'll go, you're kidding me, right? They own everything. But what I kind of noticed was the only time I've ever to try to get to a gin that really carried, you had to go Bombay Sapphire. Like you had to go to what really was the highest end for that of gins. But this, and that's the other thing that I was impressed by, is the price point on your gin. Was it's not one of these things where it's like, hey, look, if you're going to buy our gin, you know, you're going to need to take a second mortgage out because we're leveraging this name and it's going to be, you know, this crazy, absolutely, you're not going to be able to pick it up. Your price point, like I know the really expensive one was the one that you said you only made 2,000 bottles of it.
Yeah.
But I get that. But you can pick a bottle of this up for $30.
Yeah. 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 Exactly. That's not
insane. I mean, we were talking about this beforehand. I stopped at the liquor store and a bottle of Pappy Van Winkle is $1,000.
Yep.
I wouldn't even open it and never enjoy it because I'd be like, well, I invested in this. I need to put it in my will. You know, this is, and I can't stand that. I really don't like that. You've taken a product that easily is a $60, $70, $80 bottle and put it at a price point where there's no reason anybody couldn't pick it up and enjoy it. Was that part of your goal or it just kind of ended up that way?
100%. I mean, Highclere represents a beautiful accessibility, I think. You know, I mean, the castle itself is open to the public a couple months of the year for people to go in and enjoy and appreciate the beauty that Lord and Lady Carnarvon kind of protect there and preserve for people to enjoy. And in my mind, in Lord Lady Carnarvon's mind, the terroir, the land should be the same. Gin doesn't cost that much to make. And so therefore, why price gouge? Because you can. You know, we're a healthy company. We've got healthy profit margins. But I also wanted to make sure that everybody could enjoy it and appreciate it. The business has to go well. The castle costs a lot of money to run, as you can imagine, and so does this company. But, you know, at the same time, we want everyone to be able to enjoy it. And people are coming over from other brands in droves, so it's working.
Now, April just made for me the Pear Collins.
Oh, yeah, that's one of my favorites.
2 ounces of Highclere. You're laughing at me where I found Pear Puree at. 1/2 ounce of simple syrup and club soda and garnish with thyme. Do you know how so you do know that pear puree just isn't sitting on the shelves in the grocery store, right?
I can tell you where I'd get mine from.
I got mine from the baby food section.
I was just going to say, I would go into my cabinet and get it from the little drawer that my wife keeps for my one-year-old.
That's exactly it, dude. I Googled it. I was like, where can I? And it was like, oh, made for like snack foods and all this. I'm like, God. I was like, where can I buy it at? And it popped up on Google and was like, Gerber pear puree. I'm like, and I had to double check because, you know, I'm going to make a drink with this. I didn't want it to have like extra BS in it. And it just said pears. I was like, okay.
How's this the cocktail taste? It's awesome, right?
This is interesting. Like, so I don't think I've ever had a cocktail with thyme in it.
Oh, thyme is like an unused, amazing herb. Yeah.
Because we grow it in our garden. But that's so I will tell you, the blackberry bramble has a very sitting at the pool, hanging out. I wish I had my lighter. Because this is the next thing we're going to talk about is your cigars. I sat down before I grabbed my lighter, and my lighter's in the special box, the spicy box in the bedroom. We'll just call it the spicy box. I'm gonna leave it at that. but that really has a. Here's what comes to mind the minute I tasted that, and you tell me if this is where this cocktail was going was. It has a very sitting in a chair, just like you're sitting in an environment that you're sitting in right now. And folks, if you're not watching the live, go check out the live. Adam's sitting in what looks like, you know, it should be in a English gentleman's club or over in India, you know, an English only club where, you know, there's skins of this animal and a head of that animal sitting around. But it has a very vibe like that. Where you crack open a cigar and you kind of go, let me enjoy this while I, and that's what this cocktail has. I don't know if that was the vibe that it was going for, but that is the vibe I got.
I never really put a vibe quite for it. I mean, pear is an underused, you know, flavor in cocktails, I think. And it's a beautiful flavor. And to your point, thyme as well is underused. So we like to explore and have fun with things that people don't think of traditionally. But now that you say that, I can kind of feel what you're saying. There's a unique kind of spice to it, like a, I don't know, an exoticness to the flavor.
Sophistication.
Profile. Yeah, sophistication. I totally agree with you. Absolutely. Yeah,
this isn't like, you know, this doesn't have a Boone's Farm type vibe to it, man. This definitely is like. Excuse me, sir. Would you like me to go ahead and freshen your drink up for you? Would you like another one?
That's like, the, at any, that's what you to have. That's the vibe we want.
Pennywise at any Pennywise should be showing up at any moment and be like, oh, sir, would you like another one? Can we help you out here any moment, sir?
Well, that's a great compliment.
Absolutely, brother. So I want to ask, though, is, you know, because this isn't your only thing, but I want to stay with the gin for just a couple more minutes. And again, folks, if you want to get a bottle of this, highcleargin.com. If you want to know the history of it, highclearcastlegin.com. And it's clear as C-L-E-R-E. It's, you know, go check out what they've got going on. You can pick a bottle up. What I'm curious, though, is there more coming, like, is it we're staying with the gin? Like you really want to be a gin person? Because I feel like a lot of distilleries, they start off with this, hey, this is our thing. And then they kind of realize like, hey, I got to kind of, let me go ahead and throw something else out there. I got to make another thing. Or is it we're a gin company and we're going to stay a gin company?
I mean, at the end of the day, I see myself as a creator and I create through the spirits. And an entrepreneur. And so I always have, I have lots of plans and intentions to make other brands, but we're very hyper-focused on Highclere success right now. And I think Highclere Castle lends itself the best to a gin. We're available in 9 countries, so we have to manage that, 28 US states. It's quite a rapidly expanding business. So we have to be, you know, the team and I have to be very focused on that. But I have plans. We have a line extension we're doing on Highclere Gin this year. That we're developing now that will be a really cool product, kind of celebrating the gardens of Highclere even further and the summer flavors of Highclere with roses and things like that. So you have another line extension coming. But, you know, at some point soon, I'm making preparations to develop some other spirit brands that would not be made at Highclere or of the Highclere brand, but back to kind of my original plan and intention.
Nice. Now you kind of were talking about those summer vibes and everything and roses. Is that like a rose, like using like rose water? Like what would we like? I'm trying to think, like, cause to me, again, back to the first thing, gin feels summertime to me as it is.
Yeah.
So what would that be like?
So there's a flower that's been developed at Highclere that was named after Lady Carnarvon, and it's called the Lady Carnarvon. So we're going to be actually not a rose water, but actually extracting the oils from the actual rose
petals. Wow.
And infusing it into the gin. But I also see something more. I'm always like, you might relate to this. We all have these memories of like midsummer, like peak summer, and you bite into that overripe peach. And the juice is just running down your face. And it's just one of the most delicious flavors of all time and experiences is like that super ripe summer peach. So I'm thinking and playing around with flavors of peach, of apricot, of the rose that we would infuse into our existing flagship into a really cool product that kind of celebrates the Lady Carnarvon rose and that summer, that very kind of that essence of the British garden party and the cocktails and debauchery that goes along with that.
Now, Nate, I'm going to get to your question because Nate's question is always a good food question. But I got to ask this because it kind of sparked in my head. You said 9 countries. What is that like to manage the ability to sell a liquor and to sell a spirit in 9 separate countries that are going to have separate rules and regulations? What is that just from a challenge standpoint been like?
A nightmare.
Simple as that, huh? Just a nightmare.
Yeah, that simple. Yeah. No, I mean it's. I have a really wonderful management team and back office team as well. But it is very complicated. I mean, liquor. To your point, liquor import export. Everything is made in England per our design. It was very important to me that everything was pure and true. Even the glass, even our glass bottle is produced on English soil.
Oh, really?
In England, and then it's shipped around the world. We have offices at the castle as well as my headquarters right here where I'm in right now. And I know it's just a complicated it's different papers, different processes, different tax fees, different import fees, all sorts of stuff going on with it. So it's a very, very heavy lift. It's forgetting even 9 countries. It's a heavy lift being in 28 U.S. states because 28 states have different taxes and rules and regulations.
Okay.
Because the U.S. after Prohibition, everyone lost their mind and every state was just basically given independence on how to control liquor law. So here we are, you know, 100 years later, and it's kind of an internal mess. Instead of being a unified policy, every state has their own requirements. So yeah, it's a huge logistical nightmare.
So, I mean, you've got to have a team that just focuses on that in and of itself, I imagine.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. That's full time. That's full time roles. Yep.
That's wild to me, man. Cause I think about with my business and I'm just dealing with New York. I couldn't imagine, you know, stepping out into other states and okay, well, you know, this is the tax code here. This is what you have to do. This is how this has to be stamped. Yeah. Oh, we're a liquor store in Maryland, but we're an ABC store in North Carolina. Well, they're not the same. You can't carry them in the same place. You're dealing with all that kind of stuff, I imagine.
All that kind of stuff. And wow. More. I mean, think about this. In Texas or Ohio, we sell to a distributor. The distributor sells to the liquor store, right? Mm-hmm. The distributor has the warehouses and the trucks. You see them on the road. Budweiser trucks goes by. That's a distributor, right? In Texas or Ohio, the restaurant can't buy from a distributor. The restaurateurs have to buy from a liquor store.
Really?
Yeah. So think about that. Imagine if you opened a restaurant and you were like, I can't buy from my distributor wholesaler who supplies the whole world wine, beer, and spirits. I have to buy from my local liquor store.
See, that's like Pennsylvania. I don't know if you've done. So Pennsylvania has package stores and bars.
Yeah.
If you go to a package store, you have to buy everything by the case. So you can't just go in and buy a six pack and be like, hey, I'm going to go home. Yeah. You have to buy a case of something, or you have to go to the local bar to buy a six pack. But that local bar is going to charge you the same as if you sat in the bar and bought six individual beers.
Right, right.
So you pay out the nose.
This is also the same. This is the same state that closed all the liquor stores during COVID and sent about something like $4 billion. I think I could be wrong, but billions of dollars they sent to all the surrounding states because they closed the liquor stores.
Yeah, they're like the Bible Belt and missed where they were supposed to be at. Sometimes up in Pennsylvania, it's a special kind of place.
It is a beautiful state. I'll say that.
I lived there for years. It's special. And look, folks, we're getting close to closing the bar up and everything. If you've got questions for Adam, please let me know. We're going to talk about, we're going to switch gears here in a moment. And I thought my wife was coming back with a lighter, but I guess she's not. And we're going to talk a little bit about High Clear cigars. But before we get into that, Nate had a question for you. And I always love his questions, which was, what is the perfect meal to have with a High Clear? Like, do you have like a, hey, this is my favorite meal, or if I'm going to have it on the rocks compared to a cocktail, what is it for you?
Wow. It's such an interesting question. But, you know, being a New Englander, myself, I do love a good oyster, and that can happen. And that's not a meal per se, but let me tell you that a High Clear Castle Gin Martini next to some ice cold oysters that are fresh out of the sea, nothing is more elegant than that, I think. But at the same time, you know, I like to cook a lot. I cook for my wife pretty often, and I've made all sorts of neat things where we've done High Clear cocktails with it. So anything that's, you know, roast duck is fun. Anything inspired by English cuisine. I love curried pheasant, which is pretty special, or just a simple omelet with a little dollop of sour cream and some caviar sprinkled on it with a High Clear on the rocks, little top of champagne on the High Clear. I love pouring champagne right on top of High Clear on the rocks. It's not even a cocktail. It's just my thing. Ice, gin, some champagne. Bomb.
That's interesting, because that's definitely a very flowery sounding very drink, you know what I mean?
It's a little splash of bubbles, a little sweet, it adds some kind of a little bit of yellow coloring to it. It's just elegant, I think, you know?
That's a definitely an interesting. Now I'm a big, Nate will tell you, both Nate and I are both from Baltimore, we're big seafood guys, you know. We will argue with anyone in the country that the best seafood in America comes from Maryland. The best seafood cooking comes from Maryland. But I got to ask you, you know, you're talking about oysters. Are you a straight oyster guy or an oyster Rockefeller? What's your oyster?
Oh, I mean, our oysters come out of the North Atlantic here off Cape Cod and Maine and Massachusetts and even Rhode Island, Connecticut. They're you know, I would never bake one. They've got to be just done raw, shucked, maybe a little lemon juice, maybe a little cocktail stuff on it. I like a little drop of Tabasco, but I mean, our scallops are incredible as well. I mean, Stonington scallops you could find on some of the best restaurants around the world. And that's Stonington, Connecticut off of there. So, I mean, I won't go head to head to you with New England versus Maryland. Cause you guys have some awesome, amazing seafood, but I think we stand right there with you.
I mean, it's very different, you know.
It is.
Well, because you guys boil, we steam. Everything for us is steam.
Yep.
So like it's funny, like oysters and clams, raw is great, but I love them steamed.
Yeah, sure.
I love a good steamed flavor out of them. This is the lighter my wife finds. This is the one. She's like, here, I found your lighter.
Smoking something different.
Spicy cigars. So now I have two that Renee sent me. I have one that's a little bit more of a darker color, and one that's a little bit more of like your traditional fuller cigar.
Yep.
What do I got here? And how did we get from gin to cigars? I'm curious.
Yeah, I'll tell you this story quick. I know we don't have a ton of time left, but
it's my show. I can have all the time I want. It's mine.
Got it. I have a dear friend named Nick Melillo, who's a world-renowned cigar blender, spent many of the last 20 years in Nicaragua learning the craft. And I came back from Highclere, and I said to him, we had wanted to collaborate on a cigar. And I said, listen, I have the idea. I'm going ahead with the spirit brand. How would you like to collaborate on a cigar brand around Highclere? I found invoices from Lord Carnarvon's great-grandfather hosting the King of England at Highclere for a weekend with the invoices for all the cigars he was bringing in. So let's replicate the cigar that Lord Carnarvon's great-grandfather was hosting the King That's of England so cool. for 100 years ago. And so this first cigar, the lighter one, this is called the Highclere Castle Edwardian. This is this box. You got the lighter one there.
Yep.
That's Connecticut shade wrapper. It's much more milder. Exactly. I think of it as like it's a champagne of cigars. It's creamy. It's pistachio notes. It's white pepper. It's very, very sophisticated, very smooth, very, very mild as well. And then the second cigar you have is a darker Maduro. And that comes from this box. This is the Highclere Castle Victorian. So Edwardian and Victorians were two ages in England. These were the cigars they were smoking. Good. In the Victorian age, these were modeled after the cigars they were smoking in the Edwardian age. And now, by the way, these cigars have both won, like, I think this one got top 25 cigars in the world by Cigar Aficionado a couple of years ago. So you're winning some of the most award. You're enjoying not only the most awarded gin in the world, but a couple of the most awarded cigars ever to have existed. They're all handmade in Nicaragua in our factory down there in Esteli. And even the boxes I showed you were handmade out of sustainably grown Nicaraguan cedar, red cedar on the East Coast.
Now I gotta tell you something I enjoy with a cigar, and I'm not gonna do it with a Highclere, but I like to dip mine in whiskey.
Why not?
Whiskey dipper for my cigars.
Sure. Well, I will share one thing with you that we've discovered accidentally. So I was always a rum, scotch, or cognac guy with my cigars. And when we came out with the gin and the cigars, I was like, I kind of wish we had a brown spirit. And what I've discovered is that the gin actually cleanses the palate for the cigar. And when the cigar gets smoking and you're really going with the plume, when you go back to the gin's almost like a sorbet. So it really cleans the palate. Now, I'm not sure about the pair drink or how that'll affect it, but what I'm saying, when you're drinking it straight, I like to puff the cigar and clean my palate with the gin, and the flavors come together amazingly. Whereas the bourbons or the cognacs or rums, they used to really impact my flavor of the cigar.
I will tell you what it does. You lose with the cigar, this darker cigar, you actually lose any bitterness that might be there, and you end up with just the cleaner notes of the drink itself. You get more of a pear flavor, mm-hmm. and you can smell, obviously you can smell the thyme because it's just sitting there.
Yeah.
But it's very different. Yeah. I have to tell you, brother, that's very unique. And I love the idea that you took the time to pair them together and to think about that. So now I've got to ask then that look, I'm always looking for ideas for other people because then I don't have to spend the money on them. Are you going to box them together? Like, can you box them together?
Yeah, not really. It gets very legally complicated pretty quickly. And the other thing about that is that our cigars have to be very carefully humidified. And if they're not properly humidified in a couple of weeks, all cigars start to get very bitter and dried out and nasty. So we don't want anyone smoking a Highclere unless it's perfectly presented and perfectly preserved. So we sent them to you. They came from my humidor here in the office. You got them 2 days later and you're smoking it today. And you can feel and see, I can even see on the wrapper. See the oils on that?
Yes.
That is flawlessly kept. So you're going to get a smoke, the draw. The burn is even, the draw is smooth through, and you can, if you squeeze a little bit, you can feel it's almost oily and moist.
And no, that's like, I know exactly what you're saying. Like, I can see a little bit on my fingers and everything.
Yep.
It's got a very nice sheen to it.
Exactly.
Almost.
Sheen. Yep.
I mean, this is definitely, I'm digging this. Now, Is there a site to pick up the cigars also?
Yeah, you know, we're available at most of the finest cigar lounges around America and in London. So cigar lounges, cigar stores, if you look up and Google the Hightower Castle cigar, you'll find plenty of retailers that sell it. You can learn more about it by going to foundationcigarcompany.com, which has all the details, the nitty-gritty details around the cigar brand. So
I'm telling you, you have really put together what I can only describe as a gentleman's brand and a gentleman's style.
Amen to that. Thank you.
I don't have, like, I was trying to sit here and think of like all these adjectives that were coming to mind. And really what comes to mind is the way you're sitting right now, how I see you sitting right now, but that's your brand. You are one brand 100% with what you're carrying. Look, folks, I'm going to tell you right now, you know, and I don't always get infomercially on my show because sometimes I'm like, oh, this is great. This is nice. But this is one of those kind of things where, you know, if you've got a guy's night coming out or a boy's night coming up or even a bachelor, you know, your wife's getting ready for her bachelorette party, whatever it is, this is the type of stuff where you can go and pick up and create like a nice basket with a box of cigars, a couple of bottles of gin, a few cans of tonic, and send somebody off and kind of be taking it to that next level and doing it right. I mean, you really are doing it right, brother. I mean,
thank you. Yeah, it's our life passion, you know, it's everything that, it's my art, you know, and I have a wonderful team and wonderful partners to help bring this stuff to life. And we're super committed. I'm pretty obsessed. It's really all about the best of the best. And I think we've delivered it. We're super proud of it. And I love sharing it with the world and sharing the stories behind it, and super honored and appreciative when people enjoy the amount of work that it's taken to do it. Cause it is all years of work. I mean, it's many years of commitment and work to make it be this awesome.
I can't even, and I'm going to give your wife applause right now for a minute. Because, I mean, for her to sit there, I mean, I think for a lot of wives, you know, I know when I decided I was going to start my own business, mine was like, okay, I guess that's what we're doing. You know, sometimes as men, we have these great ideas and we can quickly forget them and stop them because our significant others are like, nah, that's kind of stupid. And then we're like, we can do it. And to have that kind of support. So she deserves tons and tons of kudos for being willing to be like, okay, we're going to own a liquor brand and some other shit. And we're going to make this happen. Let's do it.
And she's a practicing lawyer, and we have three babies at home. So she really does deserve all of that.
you're almost as bad as me. Can't even pull out the driveway. well, look, folks, as I've said this whole show, make sure you're taking the time. Go into highclearGin.com if you're looking for a bottle. HighClearCastleGin.com to find the history of it. What was it again for the cigars?
You can look up the Hightower Castle cigar online and find a million retailers that sell it. And if you want to really dig into it, go to Foundation Cigar Company. Foundation Cigar Company is run by Nick Melillo, my partner in the cigar. He blends the cigar. They produce it. It's all done under his watchful eye.
Well, and the cigars are outstanding, folks. You know what I really like about your cigars is they don't leave that cigar flavor in your mouth, if you know what I mean.
Oh my God, do I know what you mean? That is one of the biggest pet peeves of mine about most cigars. And these cigars don't do it at all. In fact, in the morning, you get that cigar in the morning, you wake up and you're like, oh, I forgot I had that cigar. I regret it.
Right.
You
will
not taste this tomorrow. You will not know you had a cigar tonight.
That is one of my things that I've had some where you're like, nah, nah, nah. I had a cigar last night and I haven't smoked. I'm 47 now. I haven't smoked since I was 35. So on the occasion when I have a cigar, I know it instantaneously, like the next day, like, yeah, that's why I don't smoke anymore. Yeah. But folks, make sure you're going, taking the time, seeing what Adam's got going on. Anything, any events coming up anytime soon, Adam, anything like that happening that folks should know about?
Nothing public. We've got some private events that we have scheduled, but nothing exciting or that interesting. I mean, we're very active on social media with cool cocktails and stories. So Hyder Castle Gin, you know, all over all the social media platforms. Do subscribe to our newsletter on our website. That's a big way to get invited to events. We do hold public exclusive events sometimes just for our subscribers. So if you go to our website and you sign up with your email address, you'll be on our email blast list. Maybe even invited to High Clare at some point and other crazy exclusive things.
Well, maybe I'll get myself one there and my bride and I will at least make our way to Connecticut, you know?
Absolutely.
We're not too far away.
No, you're not.
We're not too far away. You're not too far away. You can come up here to Smalbany. You can hang out with us up here in Smalbany. But now, you know, we talked about this before the show started. This is episode 231. And you said you had binged all of them. You were completely immersed, fully. You and Renee sat and like took notes. Yeah. I'm full of shit, folks.
I've got nothing else to do. So yeah.
I've got nothing else to do. The brand just writes itself every day. So you know what's coming up, and don't log off right after this. We got to talk for a couple minutes after the show. But as we ask every guest before the show is over, the guest always gets the last word. So what's the final word tonight, Adam?
Well, I just appreciate your interest and support and going deep. You're a great storyteller, and it was a lot of fun to be here with you. And I think it was great to have a gin and a cigar on a Wednesday night. And I just really, really, really enjoyed the time with you and the conversation. Go to HyderCastleGin.com to learn more about our brand and check us out on social media and check out our cigars, the Hyder Castle Cigars. And yeah, that's it.
Alrighty, folks, be sure to push your stool in. This has been a Second Front podcast presentation found on Apple, Spotify, and wherever podcasts can be found.